Hi, this is Valerie Michelle Oliver, and you're listening to Sunday Brunch, the first and last song on Creator's Parrot Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. This is the second segment or part of a two-hour feature show focusing on awards, Billboard, and the Grammys. The first part of the show featured Georgie Porgy, who is Billboard Magazine's number 10 in the top 10 best dance club play artists of the decade, and also featuring Doug Ramsey, called Mr. Fresh, and EJ Flavors, who are official bloggers for the 52nd Annual Grammy Awards. EJ covers the R&B category, and Mr. Fresh covers the jazz category. And joining me today to interview EJ Flavors and Doug Ramsey is John Hansen of PI Window on Business. He has a Blog Talk Radio show by that name, and also he has a blog organization called PI Social Media Network. And John and I are going to be talking to, again, EJ Flavors and Doug Ramsey, Mr. Fresh, about how they got involved in being official bloggers for the Grammys, ask them what their picks are, and also, since this is Sunday Brunch, the first and last song, we always ask our guests a question, two questions actually. The first question is, what is the first song you remember hearing, or what is the first song that had an impact on you and your life that made you want to begin a career in music? And the last song, or the question regarding the last song is, what is the last song you would like to hear on your last day on earth before you leave this earth? So we will make sure that we ask them the first and the last song questions. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and go into the second segment of the show. So the show has already occurred, and this is a clip of just the portion of the show talking with EJ and with Doug. And I hope you enjoy it. Thanks a lot. Now what we're going to do is we're going to move along to the second part of the show, in which we are featuring two of the official bloggers for the 52nd Annual Grammy Awards that is coming up next weekend. And let's see, those two people are EJ Flavors and Doug Ramsey, also known as Fresh, and both of them are on the line right now. And guys, you there? Can you hear me?
This is Doug Valley. Are you fine?
Hi, Doug.
Hi. And this is EJ. I hear you just fine.
Hi, EJ. Welcome, guys. And let me introduce you to John Hansen. Hansen?
Yes.
Hi, John.
Hello. Hi, EJ. I'm fine. And Doug, welcome. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks.
Great. Well, great. Now, actually, what I'm going to do is normally I would just ask, you know, what is the first song you remember hearing, guys? And EJ... EJ not only answered the question, but he sent the music as well. So I've uploaded a file of the song to the answer, what is the first song you remember hearing? And I don't remember right now, EJ, if this is the very first song, or can you just set this up for us before I go into the music, and then we'll come back.
Sure. I think when I was young, I remember hearing lots and lots of music from my mom and my pop. And, you know, it was impossible for me to say, okay, well, I remember this one first, because I can give you dozens of Stevie Wonder songs, dozens of Donny Hathaway songs, things like that. But I do remember when they got my first record player, and the very first record that was being played on my record player was Dennis Coffey's Scorpio, which is an instrumental, which I thought was fantastic at the time, and it got me wanting to, you know, get into instrumentation especially with the drums. So that's why that was the song I chose.
Okay, great. Well, here we go. Let's take a listen to it. Wonderful tune, EJ. That takes me back. You know, I am in a good way, in a very good way. Now, I am on the Amazon.com site right now to let people know if you want to pick that up. It's on an album called Big City Funk, Original Old School Breaks and Heavy Guitar Soul, and there's a photo of Dennis Coffrey on it. You know, it's funny. I thought Dennis Coffrey was an African-American guy.
Right.
And he's not. He's
right.
like totally Caucasian with this long blonde hair, and just not what I expected.
Yeah, it was a bit amazing to me as well.
Okay, so we're talking again with EJ Flavors and Doug Ramsey, official bloggers for the 52nd annual Grammy Awards, and it's time for the first question for Doug. You want to take this one, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Doug, you know, much as Val was saying, and looking at the history of jazz, and I mean, it goes way back, and it's really hard to define it, isn't it? What was the first song that you remember that sort of put you on that path of really liking this music? Was it within that realm or genre, or was it something else that triggered it? And what is that first song?
Well, the first song, actually, that I remember hearing had nothing to do with jazz, because I really got interested in listening to jazz in sort of a strange way. But let's stay on track. Let me see if I can answer the first song. I grew up in the New York, New Jersey area. And I grew up not only listening to a lot of music within the house. My family is actually from the island of Jamaica, so I've heard a lot of reggae in the house growing up in Calypso and what have you. But being raised as an American, if you will, born in the States, I listened to a lot of commercial radio. And in the tri-state area, there was a very popular station, I believe is still on, called WABC, which was more so of a pop station as opposed to urban contemporary, as they call it today. And I think one of the first songs I remember in terms of listening to the radio, which has a sort of a, there's a segue to that as well since I'm a musician, but one of the first songs I remember hearing was Chicago's Does Anybody Know What Time It Is? And I fell in love with that song because of the whole arrangement of it, the instrumentation, the vocals. That really kind of triggered me into listening to a variety of different music, although growing up I began playing guitar when I was 14 and was playing in a couple neighborhood bands here and there. But that's one of the first songs I remember hearing, one of the first songs that I owned that I would remember listening to, kind of along the lines of EJ's story, was the Ohio Players Love Roller Coaster. There was a ton of 45s, including Dennis Coffey's Scorpio, and 33s in my house because that was way before the advent of CDs. So to answer your question in terms of the first song, I'd probably have to go with that Chicago tune, which I incidentally heard on WABC. In terms of listening to jazz, in high school between the years of 76 and 80, I was playing in our high school jazz ensemble, which not only included orchestral type instruments, but guitar and bass as well. So I think that was my first foray or listening into jazz. But around that time, I had contracted mononucleosis, and I was laid up in bed for a couple weeks. And there's a very popular jazz station in the New Jersey area, Newark, for example, called WBGO. And that was my first taste of listening regularly, since I could not do anything but lay in bed, to classical jazz, if you will. So that's my kind of introduction into jazz back in the late 70s.
Now, let's see, what do I want to know next from you guys? Ah, okay, yes, as the guys who are the official Grammy bloggers, how did that happen? Because I didn't have a chance to talk to either one of you before today to find out exactly what was that process like. How did you get to become the quote unquote official Grammy bloggers?
EJ, you want to kick that off?
Yeah. I think I was very fortunate to be contacted by a lady named Beverly Jackson, and it was kind of odd how that happened. We ended up being on Twitter together, and I think just blogging about music as much as I did, and as much twittering as I did about music, I think that sparked Bev to say, why don't you guys kind of be responsible, or kind of Twitter, or blog about the Grammy Awards. We thought it was a great idea. Doug, you want to get more into that, or?
Yeah, sure. I'll add to that, EJ. From what I understand, speaking to Bev, last year I was involved in the Grammys, how should I put it, forging social media with the Grammys, annual Grammy celebration. I was involved in that with a number of other bloggers who were on Twitter by providing podcasts about the nominees. And that apparently went over very well. This year, EJ was exactly right. You know, Bev Jackson is a very dynamic part of the Grammy organization and has spearheaded many social media efforts long before this particular brainchild of hers. But EJ was right. She had went on the net and contacted people who were passionate about the music, that write well, that have a following, and that have been doing this for a while. And she decided via the rest of the organization that they really wanted to leverage social network. And what she wanted to do was she wanted to kick it up a notch, so to speak, and have people who are passionate about jazz and in the other genres sort of be the official representation of the social media world in blogging about the nominees this year. And that's how we got involved. She basically went out and collected a bunch of people who she thought would fit the bill, got us together. We had a couple of telecons before that, and she gave us our marching orders, and we've been pretty much doing it ever since.
Oh, great. Now, Doug, I know that you – could you tell us a little bit more about yourself as a professional? We already know that you're a podcaster, but you're also a musician. You're also an artist. So tell us a little bit about your career and what you do. And you also work full-time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's really what my career is. I work full-time in the arena of software development and requirements management for a private company that does work with the Department of Defense. So that's my 9-to-5 day job. Kind of segueing backwards a little bit, I've been involved in music since I was 14 and playing guitar in various bands, doing various session dates and recording. So I've been doing it for the past 30 years in terms of music per se. Podcasting, I was just explaining this to someone else. When I entered college, I decided that I wanted to, at the request of a couple people, try out radio. And at least in my school, my university, and I'm sure this goes well for many universities, you had to train on the – we were fortunate enough to have an AM as well as an FM station. And you had to train on AM first. Well, I was never a fan of AM because of the technology. And I said, well, I want to jump straight to FM. And they're like, you're nobody special. You got to train on AM first. So I decided not to pursue that. And over the years, after talking to people, they were like, yeah, you sound like you have a radio voice, you should do radio. And I said, I just don't have the time to do that. I'm out of school, I'm working, you know, a family started, blah, 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 the whole bit. As I was explaining to someone earlier, enter the internet and social media, and now it makes it easy to jump into that realm of quote-unquote radio through the means of doing podcasting. EJ Flavors is a pro at this, so I bow to him. We call him the sensei, by the way. So I'll prop him up right there. But the bottom line is that's kind of my both sides of the coin for me. Technically, my career is in the arena of software development, but on the side, my passion is music. And as of the last 2 years, the Sunday Soundtrack this past December was 2 years old. So it's been podcasting, and I'm learning a lot from on a serious note, I'm learning a lot from people who have done it for a while, like EJ and a couple of other people in our music podcast consortium. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Now, John, did you have any questions? Because I wanted to go to at least one of the Grammy-nominated songs, you know, and have EJ set up the song I'm going to play and then have Doug set up the second song and play them back-to-back. So if you have a question, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Doug and EJ, because I think I mentioned, EJ, on your blog when I visited you, you've been doing this since 2002, which would have to make you one of the original bloggers, so to speak. But social media is changing, isn't it? I mean, you know, they're talking about citizen journalism. They're talking about having it accessible to more and more people. So from your perspective, starting with you, EJ, from 2002 to where we are today, what has been the most significant difference in terms of communicating through the podcasting, through blogging, through all the emerging social media, where it's no longer, the dissemination of information is no longer narrowly or artificially confined, but it's actually broadening out? What's the biggest difference?
I think the way it started out for me, basically, and, you know, I'll segue into that, was, you know, starting off as writing, and then starting to hear more of songs and audio of, you know, people expressing themselves through the Internet that way. And so I said, well, let me go ahead and say, these are the songs I'm listening to. This is what I like to do. And as that kept going on, you know, at first I thought, well, you know, people aren't going to really care about this. It's just, you know, what's in my mind. And it may be all over the place. And I started getting a lot of, you know, positive feedback from that and saying, you know what, I really want to thank you for that. This is the stuff that we listen to as well, and the stuff that we, you know, are just hearing for the first time. So it started sparking off, you know, people looking for music and people, you know, starting to listen more into just tracks. And then I got into podcasting by saying, you know, let me try this out one time. I'm sure I won't be, you know, successful, but it's going to be what I like to do. And started listening to more podcasts, and it sounded like people said, you know, if we just express what we like the best, get more into that, it would expose us and expose the world into not only just what you hear on the radio or just what you hear on talk radio, but, you know, it expresses your mind. So it let people be a little bit freer with that, and it did the same thing with me. I think the more and more I got into podcasting, the more and more I said, you know what, I'm not afraid to, you know, step my foot out just a little bit, because this is really, really what I want to hear. It may not be, you know, straight up R&B. It may not be straight up jazz. It may be, you know, amalgamation of it all. So I think that's what happened. I think people started to say, you know what, it's okay to broaden your mind, because there is, you know, there's not a wall. There's not a ceiling. If you keep going, you know, eventually someone will listen to what you like, and, you know, that'll keep progressing on. And I think that's what's been happening.
Okay. Well, you know, and Doug, if I could turn to you, sorry, Val, but just, you know, there's this new service, new network, if you call it, called Blip FM. I don't know if you're familiar with it, BLIP.FM. And, you know, it's an interesting venue because you get to be your own DJ and share music and comments, and you can pick your favorites and everything like that. I mean, is that really where the future of traditional radio is heading, so to speak? And I mean, what does that mean in terms of the more traditional realms in your mind of the way in which music is shared and disseminated? Because certainly, as EJ said, it's giving you greater exposure to a wider variety of music that you were sort of confined to by listening to a particular station. Here you've got a much broader range. How much of a force is that going to be?
I think it's going to be a tremendous force. And I think you and you just now, as well as EJ, pretty much hit it on the head. The key word here is freedom. Right now, Blip FM, Tweet My Song, and Last FM, boy, the list goes on. Pandora. I think one of the forerunners was Live 365. Anyone you look at, they pretty much to the same focal point, and that is, it allows the user or the creator, if you will, in this respect, total freedom of choice. They can share what they like, and I know Last FM kind of does for lack of a better phrase, an aggregation of similar tastes and similar listeners. So now, not only are you able to put out there what you like, but then you find those who listen to what you're putting out, and they may have a similar interest as well. And before you know it, you have a whole list of people who are of like minds in terms of the type of music they like to listen to. So now you're developing a network almost instantaneously. So I think not only in terms of of radio as we know it, commercial radio, but that is a direct correlation to the music industry as a whole. The internet has now, as they have said and I have heard, leveled the playing field. So it's, I think it's just taking off.
That's true.
Go ahead.
That's all right. I was just going to do, let's do a hand count now of how many of us are Blip FM DJs. My hand is up.
My hand is up as well.
Mine too.
Oh, great.
Oh, definitely.
Yep. Well, there you go. Is that 100%?
There you go. 100%. I think that's a good representation of where it's going.
Okay, John, if you...
I will have to say this. I do play the occasional Dean Martin and Tom Jones song, so I'm not sure if I qualify as a cool DJ.
Well, that's cool. I love Tom Jones. And
I remember watching Tom Jones growing up.
It's not unusual. Okay.
That's still one of my theme songs.
Well, speaking of songs and Grammy-nominated songs and Grammys, I'm going to go ahead and play one of the R&B nominations. Let's see. For EJ, I've got Foreign Exchange, Daykeeper. And for you, Doug, or Fresh, I have Tanktified. EJ, do you want to say anything about this song, Daykeeper? And then you, Doug, about Tanktified?
Sure. EJ?
Yeah, I want to say that, where do I start with that one? Foreign Exchange happens to be one of, in my opinion, one of the greatest groups to come out in quite some time. And I have been a very big fan of theirs since their first album, Connected. And just them being nominated for Grammys for, you know, Leave It All Behind, this track, Daykeeper, was one of those songs that made me stop and just zone out for about 5 minutes. And then play it continuously for the next 30. I mean, it's one of those songs that's incredible to me, and I'm so glad that they were nominated for this.
Okay. And, Doug, you want to say something about Tanktified?
Tanktified is a track off of Stefan Harris's and Blackout's latest CD, which was, written by the drummer. And I particularly like that song a lot because I've been following Stefan Harris for some time now, and I was quite pleased to see that Blackout has been chosen for a nominee in the jazz category area. The song is I just particularly like the song because it bridges a lot of contemporary styles beyond what we tend to call smooth jazz into the song. But the song itself, because it has the classic jazz instrumentation using the vibraphone. That song just kind of stood out to me. The whole album is, if you will, CD, if I'm dating myself, is great. And I decided to choose that one because that one kind of stood out to me in terms of how the drummer wrote the song and penned it. So that's basically it for that track.
Okay, thank you, Doug. So we're going to go to EJ's pick, which is A Daykeeper by Foreign Exchange, and then we're going to go to Tanktified. And I just want to say, Tanktified is a bit of a long track, so I may have to cut it off a little bit earlier just to give you a heads up on that so we have more time to talk with you gentlemen.
Not a problem.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
So is everybody there?
I'm here.
How I got kicked off here. I'm not sure how that happened. Okay, I'm back. And I still am having some feedback on here, so if I sound a little strange to myself, and I'm not sure why. But that sounds like some great music there. Do you guys have anyone in mind that you would like to win a Grammy?
Well, for me, I'm partial to Stephon Harris's group. I like what has been done on this particular release. This particular release, to me, is receiving, I guess, from the entire world of jazz, mixed reviews, if you will. But personally, to make a long story short, I've listened to the whole CD, and I've looked at the other nominees as well in this particular category, and I'm fancy to that.
Well, you know, one of the things you mentioned in your January 19th blog post, and you're talking about Stephon Harris, and the Los Angeles Times referred to that article where they're saying he's one of the most important young artists in jazz and someone who's at the forefront of the New York music. I guess it's a two-part question if I could ask you. The first is what is the New York music, and what makes that type of accolade? Because that's a heavy accolade there, isn't it? As to he's one of the most important young artists. Why is that?
Well, in terms of the term New York music, that's actually, if I may say so, that's something that I'm not thoroughly familiar with, but I could probably better answer the second part of the question. And I think that jazz, obviously, with a lot of other genres, but especially, I would say, to me, in my listening range, jazz and hip-hop have taken a tremendous journey of evolution, if you will. And I would particularly say that Stephon Harris is important music now because of the elements he's bringing into jazz music. He was quoted in an article by saying this: jazz is incredibly pliable. Our music is about the here and now. It's not about the past. People think that we're mixing jazz and hip-hop, but I think this is what jazz is now. My music is indicative of my generation. And I think in order for jazz to continue to live, not only in the hearts of older listeners who are coming from its quote-unquote great days, I think in order to keep jazz pliable and alive, it's going to have to reach out to our younger listeners. And as a fan of jazz, even with the older elements as well as the newer elements, I'm hoping that to be the case because it is the backbone, I believe, of American music.
Interesting you say that, and it's kind of exciting because you know I was doing some research, and they linked jazz going back to ragtime popularity in 1897 to 1918 with its origins in St. Louis and New Orleans.
Right.
But there was, and I hope I'm saying his name right, Joachim Ernst Behrendt, who was a German music journalist, and he said the problem is that everyone tries to too narrowly define jazz, and that's not the way it should be, and Travis Jackson shared those same sentiments, and that's what you're really saying, is you can't really pigeonhole it because it has a ubiquity to it, doesn't it?
I don't think it could. I don't think jazz can be pigeonholed at this point either. I think there's underpinnings of jazz in terms of meters, in terms of chord progressions, in terms of style and feel, that people would automatically say, okay, that's jazz. Another thing that that jazz is noted for by probably more of a variety of listeners than not, and I've heard this in various contexts, and I can see why it's said, jazz is complex to listen to. Let's take Tanctified. I believe that song, it sounds to me, was written in a time signature of 7/8. It's not something that's easily identifiable or easily grasped upon like a standard 4/4 heartbeat beat, if you will. It takes a little bit of a listening and concentration to kind of stay with the song. But that's been jazz all along because of its history. So I would tend to agree with you 100%. I don't know if it could be actually pigeonholed or pinpointed for lack of a better phrase in terms of this is what defines jazz. I think it still has a foundation that is recognizable from decades, centuries gone back, if you will, but it's widening, I think.
Okay, great. Thank you for that answer. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you, Val.
Oh, great. Sorry I got kicked off. We got about less than a minute left, so I want to thank you both for being a guest today, EJ, and also to Doug, and also for you for guest hosting, John. As I say, we have less than a minute. Can we get your, last songs that you'd like to hear before you leave this earth? Why don't you go ahead, Doug?
Okay, I think in a quick 30 seconds or less, I'm going to have to say the definitive Amazing Grace.
Okay, and what about you, EJ?
I chose Leaving for a Dream by Heatwave because of the lyricism. just got me.
Okay, great. Listen, we got 12 seconds left. Listen, guys, have a great time at the Grammys. This is Val Oliver. This is Sunday Brunch, and we're out for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.